The title for this year, I believe, was something along the lines of, why do we begin saying the same Talmud Lebracha on December 4th? And the question actually is an ambiguous question, in the sense that there are really sort of two parts in that question. Number one, why do we start saying the same Talmud Lebracha on December 4th? And then the question is, why do we start saying the same Talmud Lebracha on December 4th? And there are really two different questions here. And before I explore them, I'll explain in a moment what's the difference between those two questions. Before I explore them, I just wanted to actually review the halachos of the same Talmud Lebracha, since we'll be starting to say that in, you know, a little over a week or something. The practice halacha lamaisa is that in Eretz Yisrael they begin saying the same Talmud Lebracha on Zayin Rosh Cheshvan. In Eretz Yisrael, the way the agricultural cycle works is that the planting season comes right after the Chagim. That is the time, Tishrei, very early Rosh Cheshvan, and then you need the rain in order to cause the seeds to germinate. And the harvest season is typically in the spring, depending on the crop, at least for grains. But the rainy season in Eretz Yisrael runs from about a month and a half ago, until probably sometime midwinter. In Chutz La'aretz, the practice is that we start reciting it 60 days after the Tkufa of Tishrei. Tkufas Tishrei would be called, in our terminology, the autumnal equinox. The day in autumn, or which begins, marks the beginning of autumn, in which the days and the nights are actually of equal length. I just note for astronomical purposes that if you were to look at the Shkia and Zricha and Hanetzachama charts, what you would notice is that on September 22nd, which I think was the autumnal equinox, and March approximately 21st, 22nd, the day is actually longer than the night, or Shkia. Shkia is more than 12 hours. And the reason for that is because the atmosphere bends the sun's rays of light. But from an astronomical perspective, actually, it's that time of year when the day and the night, if we're after the bending of light, would actually be equal, be 12 hours and 12 hours. So the halacha is that in Chutz La'aretz, the Gemara is actually in Bavel, we'll look at the Gemara a little bit later, we start reciting the same Talmud Lebracha in Bavel 60 days after the autumnal equinox, because that was when the rain was not needed as much in Babel, and that was when they actually really needed to start asking for rain. Note also that we talk, the Mishnayos and Masechas Tanis talk about two kinds of geshem, not two kinds of rain, but two types of geshem and tefillah. One is mazkir, huras kusham, and one is the mazkir. Mazkir refers to the Mashivurach Marna Geshem, which is not a prayer, but rather it's a praise, and that everybody begins at the end of Chag. We don't do it at the beginning of Sukkot, because Geshamim are not a good sign during Sukkot. However, the second thing is Sheilas Geshamim, which is really what we're talking about tonight. We're not simply are we praising God for bringing the rain, but rather we are actually asking for rain. So we begin, again, in Chutz La'aretz, 60 days after the autumnal equinox. The primary discussion is, what about if you live in a place that needs rain at a different time of year? And I don't mean that you happen to, you know, be out in California at a particular time, or in the West and there's a drought, but let's say your rainy season is a different time. I'm not familiar with the climates of places in the Southern Hemisphere, but I could very well imagine that in the Southern Hemisphere, the times of year are completely reversed, since the seasons are completely reversed, and the time that you would need to ask for rain might be really completely flipped. So the question is, what will you do under those circumstances? The ruling of the Shulchan Aruch is that individual area, not a country, but a city, a town, a smaller area requires rain during a particular time of year, they should ask in Shomea Tefillah. That's where they should put in a bakasha for rain. It should not be done in Birchas Hashanim, where we recite the same Talmud Lebracha. And if one did, in such a circumstance, recite it, so you have to go back and repeat Shemona Esrei. However, if you are in a region or a country that requires rain at a particular time period, and you happen to ask in the same Halamata LeBracha, the Shulchan Aruch says, fundamentally speaking, you don't have to go back and repeat Shmona Esrei. Under such circumstances, and we'll see why later, because they're according to many, many Rishonim, really, you're supposed to recite the same Halamata LeBracha based upon the country you're in, not based upon the standard of 60 days from Bavel. So we don't follow that Shita generally in the Hachila, but b'di'evet, if you were living in such a place where the rainy season were during a certain period of time, which does not overlap with our standard things, then you would not have to repeat Shmona Esrei if you in fact had said b'sein talamata l'bracha during that time. If one does forget b'sein talamata l'bracha, so one has to go back. If you remember before you reach Shomea Tfila, so then you just insert b'sein talamata l'bracha in Shomea Tfila. But if you have finished Shomea Tfila and you haven't said it yet, so if it's before the end of Shmona Esrei, so it's a Machlokas HaRishonim, where you go back to. Some Rishonim say it's a minority opinion, I think it's a minority opinion, that you only have to go back to Shema Kolein. You can recite it in Shomea Tfila, but the position of the Shulchan Aruch is that if you missed putting it in Shomea Tfila, but you haven't finished your Shmona Esrei, then you go back to Birkas HaShanim in order, and you start and repeat the Shmona Esrei Allah say there from there. Once you have completed Shmona Esrei, if you've taken your three steps back, then you have to start Shmona Esrei all over. If you haven't taken your three steps back, so in our practice, since we don't really end our Shmona Esrei until Osa Shalom, even though we're middle of saying Lokai and Tzar, so that is in effect for these purposes considered part of Tfila, and therefore if you remember Lokai and Tzar, you can go back to Birkas HaShanim. You don't have to repeat the entire Shmona Esrei. One last note, when it comes to the same Talmud Lebracha, it's treated differently than Mashiv HaRuach. By Mashiv HaRuach Merda Geshem, during the rainy season, if you say Tal, you say Mashiv HaRuach Merda Tal, or Merda Tal alone, you actually don't have to go back and repeat. But if you forget to say it, you say the same Tal Lebracha Pnei Adama, since this is really where you're asking for rain. In Chaya Mesim, it's just Sheva, but here, because you're really asking for rain, so you actually have to repeat. If you forgot to say, you only said the same Tal of Raha, you didn't say Matar, then you would be, it's as if you didn't say it at all, and whatever the rules are for going back, you have to go back. Okay, so that's just a quick chazara on the halacha, that it should be sort of at your fingertips when it comes up. I don't know about you, but I find myself frequently in the process of forgetting. If you are disturbed by the fact that you don't have sufficient kavana, it's not with regards to the same Talmud Bata Racha, but I often like to remind students that the Yushalmi, it's quoted by the Ravid, I think at the end of Hilchos Kriya Shema, the Yushalmi cites at several Amoraim, one of the Amoraim, I think it was Rabbi Yochanan, who said, I give thanks to my head because when I get the modem, it bows. Another one used to count the tiles on the base metal ceiling. Another one was said, I used to figure, these Amoraim speaking about their own experience in Tfilah. That's what happens when you daven three times a day. He would say that I was busy figuring out who brought the flowers to the Beis HaNasi that day. So if you forget to say Talmud Racha, you won't be alone, suffice it to say. So you should at least be aware of these dinim. But this year, I believe it's December 4th that we will actually begin. Now, coming back to the two questions that I want to deal with, I want to spend most of this year talking about the question of, or exposing you to the sources that deal with how we determine when to say the same Talamat al-Bracha. At the end, I assume we'll have time, I wanted to talk briefly about our calendar, because if you do the arithmetic, you realize something doesn't work out. But let's on to the first topic now. Some of you may have been taught by Rabbi Palmer, many, many years ago, in a writing contest that is now defunct, that died recently, called the Imre Shefer Writing Contest. I think it was the first year I was the judge. Don't ask why. He was a classmate of mine, or a little older than I was. But he wrote a paper that, if I recall correctly, I haven't tried to pull it out, it's called The Grain Grows Mainly from the Rain in Spain. That was the title of the paper. And it was really about the sheet of the rush that we're looking at this evening. So if any of you are students, just tell them that I quoted this. And the question really is about whether or not, when you're living in a place where it makes no sense to ask for rain at a particular time of year, whether you're supposed to recite the same Talmud Racha in a regionally appropriate way or not. So the Mishnah in Tainis, the first source, says that Bishlosha b'marchesh van shol an asagishan. The beginning of Tainis talks about Mazkirin Gemuras Hashemim. That's how the Masechta begins. Mazkirin is Mashiv HaRuach. But here, Bishlosha b'marchesh van shol an asagishan. So the third day of Mar Cheshvan, we first start to ask for rain. Rabbi Gamliel Omer B'Shivabo, Chamisha Asar Yom Achar Hachag, Kidei Sheyagia Achron Shavi Yisrael Zahar Paras. The reason, really in principle, we should ask for rain probably at the beginning of Tishrei. But we don't do that because rain, during Sukkot, is a simon kvala. The Gemara in Sukkot says that it's that we're supposed to sit in the sukkah, but if it rains, we can't sit in the sukkah, so it's like an eved shemazah kos l'rabo v'shachat l'kiton apana. It's like an eved who poured a kos for his master, and the master poured the kos over the eved's head because he said, I'm not interested in your serving me. So therefore, we have to wait till after the end of Sukkot in order to ask for rain. Now that is why, on the last day of Chag, is when we are maskirin. We don't ask for rain, but we're maskirin, boros kasham, and we start to insert our tefillah, just the sheva for our Kaddish Baruch Hu, v'ashiva ruach marnik Hashem, but we don't actually ask for rain yet. So really, we should start the day after the Chag, but because many of the Jews were ola l'regel, so what we don't want to have happen is to have rain be dumped upon them, right? They're traveling back to their homes. They're not traveling in SUVs and in buses. They're traveling, you know, if they're lucky, in wagons with animals. If not, they're walking. The roads would get pretty muddy, and it could be rather unpleasant. So we wait for 2 weeks for presumably any of the people who came from as far away north as the Euphrates River to reach with enough time to reach their home. If they waste their time after the Chag hanging out in Yerushalayim, that's their problem. But we wait those 15 days, and then we start asking for rain. So the Gemara says, Amma Rabbi Lazar halacha k'rabbi Gamliel. We pass k'rabbi Gamliel, shiva mar cheshvan, that is the psak. Tanya, Chananya omer, uvagola ad shishim b'tkufa. In chutz la'aretz, in Bavel, the term gola specifically refers to Bavel, the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah that talks about how they used to, before they had to resort to sending messengers to announce the new moon, they used to use fire. They used to put it mountain to mountain, people would see the fire, so the Mishnah refers to at the end, the last chain was the Gola, and I think the Gemara says there it's Nehardot, which is a city, one of the major cities in Babel, one of the two yeshivas in Babel, up until a certain point. So by Gola in Babel, Ad Shishim B'Kufa, 60 days after the Kufa. Amra Huna Barachia Mashmu Halacha Kachananya. Is this we pask in that way? So then the Gemara says, Ini Babal Mine Mishmu Me'emas Mad Karina Mesein Talmud. Then they ask Shmuel, when are we supposed to start mentioning it? Amar Lahu, he said, "Mechima Ailei Tzive LeBeit Havos Rishba." When they start bringing the wood in to the bird hunters, that's a Rishba's bird hunter. Tabas was the name of a fellow. When they bring the wood in, at that point, that's when you start to ask for rain. When do people bring the wood into the storehouse? Before it starts to rain, because if the rain gets up, you know, if you want to light a fire, you need good dry kindling wood. So, you know, the time they normally bring the wood in, that's the time that they're expecting the rain, and that's the time you're supposed to start davening for the rain. So that's what the Gemara says. And then the Gemara finally has a discussion of whether the 60th day is, or it is the 60th day the first day you mention, or is the 60th day the last day you don't mention. And the Gemara, we end up asking the 60th day is Kila'ah. The last line is Amar Papa, Hilchasa Yom Shishim Kila'ah Har Shishim. Day 60 is to be treated as after 60, so the 60th day after the vernal, after the autumnal equinox, at that point, that's the first day we recite Mashiv Rachim Rana Geshem. Okay, so that's all. The Gemara only talks about Eretz Yisrael and Babel. Now, one of the things that one could have wondered about, forget about Babel for the moment, and Eretz Yisrael, once the Beis HaMikdash was no longer standing, maybe, in fact, they should have started reciting Mashiv Rachim Rana Geshem on Isruchak. That might have made sense, and the Mishnah talk about that a little bit. But I'm going to leave aside the question of Eretz Yisrael for the moment, and I want to take a look at the somewhat famous Rush. The Rush writes the following: "V'tamei ani lama anu nohagim kifnei gola b'ha." The Rush says, "I wonder why is it that we follow the practice of the Bnei Gola, Bnei Babel, on this issue." Nihi dehashas shelanu bavli. So you'll say the reason we follow because we always follow the Talmud Bavli. It's one of the basic rule of psak. The halacha always follows the Gemara. Gemara means the Talmud Bavli. The Machlok is the Bavli Yerushalmi. We always follow the Bavli. The Rambam, in his introduction to the Mishnah Torah, explains that when the Bavli was finished, it was Rob Chachmei Yisrael accepted it, Klai Yisrael accepted it, so the Bavli is binding. Without a question. So the Rush says, look, the Gemara says you count 60 days afterwards. He says, but that's not really true here. He says, Mekomakom, Davar HaTovli Ba'aretz, something that is dependent upon the geographical location. In Babel Haisa Metzulas Imayim, if Babel was a very moist land, it was low down, the waters flow down there. Below how you tzrichem lamay, tzrichos lamayim, call lamayim. If they didn't need mayim, you know, in mechodesh marcheshvan, the kol haratzos tzrichem lamayim marcheshvan, lamana achar hashelat shishim lefkufa. Why elsewhere where they do need rain in marcheshvan? I assume that's generally the cycle in much of the Mediterranean basin. So in those places, why should we wait 60 days after the Kufa? V'adavar yaduva im lohaya matro yoreid at shishim l'kufa. If it took 60 days after the equinox to get rain, haya hazera aved, the seeds would be lost. They wouldn't germinate. V'lama lo nasek k'mishnah senu. Why don't we follow the Mishnah? And we should do it from Shiva b'mar cheshvan. Uber Provencia, Provence was the region, southern France, just north of the Pyrenees. It was the home of some of the very famous Rishonim, the Ravid, the Meiri, the Eshkol, so and the Balamor. The Provence Raisi Shahayu Shalom Asag Shama B'Mar Cheshvan. So he said in Provence apparently that was the practice. The Yosher Ma'od Be'inai. He thought that was actually proper. This is the Rosh in his commentary on Maseches Tainis. In the Beis Yosef, it was a little easier to take the Beis Yosef's digest. For those of you not familiar, Beis Yosef was written by Rabbi Yosef Karo. It was his work of Psak Halacha. On the Beis Yosef, he wrote crib notes. He called those crib notes the Shulchan Aruch. But the real Sefer HaPsak is actually the Beis Yosef. It was a commentary written around the Tur, Rabbi Yaakov Bala Tur, who was the son of the Rush. You might know his commentary on Chumash with the Gematrias, but the really important work of the Tur was his Sefer Halacha, which is the foundation for the organization of the Shulchan Aruch. So the Beis Yosef quotes and quotes and quotes sources. He quotes here a Tshuvas HaRush. So rather than giving you the original Tshuva, I take in sort of his digest. And he writes the following. He's quoting the Rush here. The Afa Gad Betanya Chananya Omer of a Gola Chisha Mitkufa. We always follow Chachmei Babel. When there's an argument between, let's say, the Babli and the Yerushalmi, we always follow the Babli. The Talmud Babli chashvin on Iker. So you'll say, okay, so of course we should do 60 days after the Tekufa. She says, no. When you're talking about paskening the halacha of Isser Beheter, of Tumah Vatara, of being Chayav HaPater, so yeah, of course there we follow the Babli. Avol B'davar HaTalei B'tzara HaShaa. If something is dependent upon the needs of a particular time, V'ein bo shinui lavar al din Torah, and you're not violating the Halacha, Roi Leilech Acha HaShanim V'Hamakomos V'Hazman. You should follow based upon the years, meaning, may mean different years might require different things, the geographical location, the Mekomos, and the Zman. I'm not sure exactly what Hashanim and Zman is, but basically you should follow your geographical location and the time of its rains. The Babel Shulchant al Mayim Rabim, Velo Tzrichim Yishamim Ad Shishim Letkufa. O, Hayazman Hazera Mu'uchar B'Babel. The Rush says, he's not familiar, I'm not familiar with the agriculture in contemporary Iraq, whatever's left of it, but he says that either they have enough water that they actually don't need rain until later, or the planting season's not till later. But whichever it is, they don't need rain until 60 days. But Eretz Ashkenaz, in Germany, Shesman HaZera Umechatei Tishrei Ve'elach, from the middle of Tishrei onward, Hadavri Adua, Shem Lo Yerdu Geshamim Miyad Achar HaZera Shehu Miskalkel. If you don't have rain shortly after the planting, it's going to get ruined. Sha'ofos V'Achbarim Yochlu Kula. The animals are going to dig up and eat the seeds. I don't know why the animals, the achbarim, I guess the achbarim, once the seeds start to germinate, it's not appealing to them, whatever the reason is. But nonetheless, he says, if you don't, it doesn't rain, the seed's going to be lost. So lama lo nasek v'nei eretz Yisrael sheshalom asag gesham v'bizayin v'mar cheshbon ki Rabbi Gamliel. Why don't we follow Rabbi Gamliel's practice? Ki b'davar zeh, Imbach locus b'nei, bein b'nei Babel, bein b'nei Eretz Yisrael, sheyidnu elu tam avrem sheroi lasos kach, ve'elu nosun tam sheroi lasos kemosa. There's no argument here between b'nei Eretz Yisrael and b'nei Babel, that one says, no, the svara, the logic is, this should be the halacha, and this one says, no, the logic, that should be the halacha. No. Ella, shebe Babel hayu osim kifiyat sarach lahem. In Babel, they used to follow what they needed. The Mishnah, Shomeres, Shasholim, the Marcheshvan, Nishneis be'Eretz Yisrael kifiyat sarach lahem. The Mishnah, which was in fact composed in Eretz Yisrael by Rebbe Ubeis Dino, so there they followed. They asked for rain at the time they needed rain in Eretz Yisrael. So this is what the Rush thinks. should in fact be the case. A very consistent picture. He elaborates a little bit more in the tshuva than he does in the original commentary. Now, one of the interesting things is the Shitas HaRambam in this regard. The Rosh actually refers to the Perush HaMishnayos of the Rambam and asserts that the Rambam adopts a certain position. And I want to take a couple of moments to talk about what, in fact, was the Rambam's position. The source number four, the Rambam writes as follows. The Halacha K'Rabbi Gamliel. He's commenting on the Mishnah. We pass like Rabbi Gamliel that it's seven of Mar Cheshvan, not the third of Mar Cheshvan. Remember the two reasons, two shikos in the Mishnah. The Rambam says, V'chol zeh be'eretz Yisrael v'chol shu doma lo. This is only true in Eretz Yisrael, any place that is similar to it. Now that immediately tells you that he sees the date of Zion Mar Cheshvan is not limited to Eretz Yisrael. It's v'chol adoma lo. V'chein kol ma sheyeh omer hola bizmanei hatanios, eino ela eretz be'eretz Yisrael v'chol makom she'aviro korov la'aviro. If you read on, Maseches Tainus. Why does Maseches Tainus begin by talking about Masher Baruch Mar Negeshem and Mesein Talmud Al Bracha? Because Maseches Tainus is not about the fasts that you're thinking about. I mean, there is the minor fast I discussed at the way end of the Masechta. But the primary purpose of Maseches Tainus is talk about the fast they used to fast when they didn't have rain. So the Mishnayos talk about they would fast a series of three fasts and another three fasts and another seven fasts. And the Mishnayos give the dates for the fast and so on. So the Rambam says that when we start asking for rain, as well as all of the dates of when you start fasting for rain, when rain hasn't come, that all applies only to Eretz Yisrael, and in places whose climate is the same as Eretz Yisrael, who is Avmakom she'aviro karov la'aviro. Aval b'shar ha'ratzos harei teheh ha'shela bizman haroi l'geshamim ba'oso ha'makom. In all other lands, the time you ask for rain should be at the time that it's needed. So he says that Hare Oso Hasman, that time, whatever it is in a particular land, Ke'iluhu Shiva B'Mar Cheshvan. It's the equivalent of the seventh of Mar Cheshvan. V'im Nas'achru HaGeshamim Achare Oso Hasman. If the rain is delayed after that time, L'fiyach Hasmanim Elu, corresponding to the delay of time in our Mishnah, Amurim Kan, Hare Elu Masamim Kemoshin Iskar Kan, then you have to fast in those lands on those days. So it's X days after the rain should have come and hasn't come, that's when you start fasting there. Mafi, Sheyesh Aratzo She'ein Zman HaGasham Maskel Ela Minisan. There are lands where the rainy season begins in Nisan. Ve'yesh Aratzo Sheva Mar Cheshvan Yeva Makayetz. There are places in which Mar Cheshvan is still summer. Ve'en HaGasham Bo Levracha, rain is not a blessing. Lema Abed U'mashmin. Right, if you learn the Sefer Shmuel, so after Shmuel anointed Shaul as their king, so in his final public speech to the Jewish people, when he rebuked them for asking for a king and warned them that they still better follow God's law, so Shmuel says to them, it's a time of the cutting of the wheat, and I'm going to spread my hands out to heaven, and the rain and skies are going to fill with clouds, and you'll understand that God is angry at you. Because if it had rained, he did pray, and the rain didn't come. But had it rained, it would have been a disaster, right? The crops are already, at that point, grown in the field. The rain is going to be destructive. It's going to cause rotting. So you need rain at the right time, and not to have rain at the right time. Which is why, not only do we make you repeat, if you forgot to be Shoalas like Geshamim, but if you ask for Geshamim, once it reaches the point where you're not supposed to have Geshamim, so we also make you go back. Because just as not enough Geshamim can be a curse, so too much Geshamim can be a curse. So the Rambam says that you follow the place where you are. And then he says something astounding. It's a sheker to ask for rain at a time where you don't want rain when the rain doesn't normally come. So the Rambam says this is absolutely clear. So the Rambam's position, at least in the Perush HaMishnayos, seems to be rather clear. That is like the Rosh. That you ask for rain at the time that it's appropriate. You don't ask for the time and during the time that it's inappropriate. It doesn't matter what land you're in. It's clear he does not see the 60 days of Bavel as being the standard that governs every place outside of Eretz Yisrael. Despite that, it is in fact our practice. The Rambam in Hilchos Tefillah, in Source 5, writes the following: Mekomos shehein tzrichem legeshamim bimos hachama. Places that need rain during the summer, kegon iye hayam harachokim, like the faraway islands in the sea, Sho'alim es hagishamim be'es shein srichen lohem b'shomea tefillah. You ask in those places in shomea tefillah. U'mekomos shein osim yom tov sheni shnei yamim, yom tov shnei yamim, omer morad hageshem etfilas musaf shavishan shoshmini atzeres, u'mispala v'holei koyimos hagishamim. So the last point is kind of a subtle point, unless you've seen the Gemara, which is, when do we say Mashiv Ruach Merna Geshem? When do we start saying it? Shmini Atzeres. Okay, that's very nice. So we say Shmini Atzeres, Mosef, and then we say it at Mincha. But come Motzei Yom Tov Arishon, which is Yom Tov Sheni, so now we're being Machmir to assume that maybe today is Yom Tov. So what should you say in Mariv of Leil Simchas Torah? Because after all, if this is actually the real day of Yom Tov, you're not supposed to say Mashiv HaRuach until Musaf of the last day of Yom Tov. So you might have thought that, well, you say it Musaf, you say it Mincha, you stop for Maariv and Shacharis, and then the next day, Simchas Torah, you start again Mashiv by Musaf, Mincha, and then you keep saying it. So the Rambam, based upon the Gemara, says no. Once you start saying Mashiv HaRuach for the purposes of Yom Tov Sheni, we don't pay any attention. You start on Shmini Atzeres and Musaf, and you keep going until you get the Pesach. That's the second half, what the Rama means, that a mispala v'holei koyimos ha'isham. That's why he's telling you that. You start with the Shemini Atzeres, even though you have Yom Tov Sheni, you still keep going. But what about the first part? Is the first part what the Rama said consistent with what he wrote in the Parashat Mishnayos? I'll read it one more time, just the first half. Mekomos shem tzrichim l'gishamim b'imos ha'kama k'gon iye hayam ha'rachokim sh'olim es ha'gishamim b'eish shem tzrichim l'hem b'shomei ha'pidah. Places that require rain in the summer months, like Iye Hayam Harachokim, like far away island, isles from the sea, they ask for Gishamim when they need it, Gishamim Atim. So the question is, what is the relationship between this Rambam and what he wrote in the Parash on the Shnayis? Anybody want to suggest anything? No suggestions. Yes?
In the Mishnah, did he specify that it should be said in Shomei Atzvila if you're saying something specific for your area?
It's an interesting idea, but given that he says B'shan HaRatos Tia She'ela B'zman HaRol Shabbos HaMakom, when we talk about doing She'ela, it means the same Talmud of Rav Baruch Hashan. If you want to say that he meant in Shomei Atzvila, he really needed to have said something in the Parish of Mishnah.
So that's the difference.
What's that?
And here he's saying that you should insert that.
In Shomei Atzvila, correct. But the fact that he doesn't say it in Parashat Shnayis makes it hard to believe that he thought it should be in Shomei Atzvila. Right? In other words, you can't leave that detail out. Which did the Rambam write first, by the way? The Parashat Mishnayis or the Mishnah Torah? Anybody know? He wrote the Parashat Mishnayis first. I don't remember what the dates on it, but he tells you when he started and when he finished it. He wrote it for the Mishnah Torah. So there are obviously two generic possibilities. One possibility is that the Rambam changed his mind. And in the Mishnah Torah, he backed out what he wrote in the Parashat Mishnayis. That is not something that happens infrequently. In fact, in the Parashat Mishnayis itself, the Rambam often changed his mind and erased and wrote over. Now, if you want to know how do we know that, because if you go uptown to the library and you go to the desk and you ask to take out from the rare book room a facsimile edition of the Rambam's Parashat Mishnayis, which we have his own manuscript for the first five siddurim. So if you look there, you can see where he erased something and wrote something over, and sometimes you can see the original. If you read of Kapach's edition, the Moshe Rav Kook Parashat Mishnayis of the Rambam, the three volumes set, Kapach always points out in the notes, you know, where the Rambam, where you can see what he wrote in the Madura Kama, he actually, I think, had three revisions, two sets of revisions, and you could often tell. Sometimes, by the way, positions of the Rambam in the Parashat Mishnayis are quoted, which are not what the Rambam wrote in the Parashat Mishnayis, because people had earlier editions, and this goes back a very long time. So it's possible the Rambam changed his mind between the Parashat Mishnayis and when he wrote the Mishnah Torah. But the Beis Yosef points out, and I don't think this is the only way of resolving the contradiction to claim that he actually didn't change his mind. The Beis Yosef points out that if you look very carefully at the Rambam in the Parashat Mishnayis, he talks about Makomos. He doesn't talk about Aratzos. He doesn't talk about Aratzos. Now, one note of caution to be very careful about. I don't know Arabic, but remember that the Rambam wrote his Parash on Mishnayis in Arabic, in Judeo-Arabic, meaning Arabic in Hebrew letters. The Mishnah Torah was the only major work he wrote that was in Hebrew. So when you're seeing the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah, you're seeing the original, assuming things haven't been tampered with. We actually have good kisvei out of the Rambam, if you're interested. And I doubt there are any issues in the Rambam's nusach here. the danger in the Perusha Mishnayos is that, for the most part, the translations we have, they're translations. And the question is, the early translations may not have been very good translations, most of it. Rav Kapach was one of the people who redid it in the modern era because of those issues. Part of the problem is Rav Kapach probably knew Arabic better than many of the medieval translators, but Rav Kapach didn't know the cultural context as well as the medieval translators. In other words, Arabic itself has changed, so it would have been best if the Rambam had written it in Hebrew for us. That's not a choice, but you have to just be careful being medayik in the Rambam's language in the Perusha Mishnayos. But the Beis Yosef suggests that the Rambam in the Perusha Mishnayos is talking about a region, a country, a whole area. And a whole area needs rain at the time of the year. They say we say in Talamat al-Racha, in Birkas HaShanim, the way in Eretz Yisrael they start on Zayin Rav Cheshvan, in Babel 60 Zayin Rav Tekufa, that's what they should do in other lands. The Rambam in the Mishneh Torah is talking about individual, small locations, a particular town that requires rain, and that, he says, they only ask for in Shomea Pila. To be perfectly honest with you, I doubt that the Beis Yosef is correct. I suspect that those who argue that the Rambam changed his mind are in fact correct, for a very simple reason. If the Rambam has already written about this issue in the Perusha Mishnayos, and he's going to address the question in the Mishneh Torah, he should have then specified. In other words, why didn't he provide us with two caveats in the Mishneh Torah? In other words, that you ask for rain in a small one town that needs it, but not a whole region asks in Shema Tefillah, and a whole region follows, wherever they live, regardless of what Eretz Yisrael and Babel do. So I am a little skeptical of arguing the Rambam really didn't change his mind. The only question would be why he changed his mind. He uses very strong language. Ha'im ein zeh sheker. I'm reminded of Rav Lichtenstein, zichrono lebracha, was fairly conservative, lowercase c, in terms of changing practice, especially Nusach HaTfilah. But if I understand correctly, he might have been in favor, I don't know what he actually did, of changing the Nusach of Nachem that we recite on Tisha B'Av because of the issue of Dover Sheker Lo Yikon L'Neged Einai, right from Tehillim, I think, at Tesvav. No, not Tehillim, that's not where it's from. But the idea that to speak Sheker in God's presence when you talk to God is not appropriate. So that's what the Rambam is basically describing when compares Shem Shnayis, when he says, Ein Zeh Sheker. But Im Kol Zeh, I wonder whether or not the Rambam really changed his mind. But there's no way really to know. The Shulchan Aruch, as I mentioned earlier, source number 6 says the following. Yechidim atzriyachad l'matar b'imos hachamah. Individuals who need rain in the summer. Ein shol anosav avirkas ha-shanim ela b'shomea tefillah. That's like the Rambam in the Mishneh Torah. V'afilu ir gedola k'ninve o eretz achas kula k'mos sforat b'chlala. Even if it's a huge city or if it's an entire country like Spain, oh, Ashkenaz Bechala. I don't know if he means just Spain or all of the Spanish orbit. And Ashkenaz, I don't know if he means just Germany or Germany and France. Ki yechidim damu, they're supposed to mention the Shomei Atfila. Umihu, however, im be'eretz achas, kula, hatzrichem matar b'imos hachama, ta'a bo'yochid, v'sha'al matar b'berkas hashan. Let's say you're in a place where, according to the Rush, and a good number of other Rishonim, you would in fact say V'sein Talamat al-Racha because that's your rainy season. And this, but we don't, Mahaber says we don't do that. We don't follow the Rush. But let's say you have an individual who made a mistake and he asked, he said V'sein Talamat al-Racha in Birchas HaShavim. So the Mahaber says, Chozer Mispal B'Toras V'Dava V'Lo She'ela B'Birchas HaShavim. He should repeat Shmona Esrei as a Tfilas Nedava, not as a Tfilas Chom. And there he shouldn't mention Birchas HaShavim. And the Rambam says, "Aval ina mechui of lachzar klal." It's not clear exactly what this formulation means, but I think that the Rambam is basically, I think what he's saying is that if, in fact, you remember in the middle of Shemon Esrei that you said v'sein talamat avracha, and you live in Spain and you should be saying at a certain, and you really should be saying at a certain time, but we don't follow the Rush. So if you realize you made the mistake, you don't go back in the middle of Shemon Esrei, because really, since maybe we should really pass along like the Rush anyway, so therefore, if you made a ta'us in this case, then we don't obligate you to go back. In our practice today, I think today we would always repeat because probably none of us know when, I don't even know what the rainy season is here. It rains all year here, potentially. So I'm not really sure when we need rain in New Jersey. Although, and the truth is, this country is rather unusual because in the category of grain, I know at least in wheat, we really have two different crops. We have a winter wheat crop, which is like Europe and the Mediterranean, and then we have a summer wheat crop, which they don't have. It's a crop that's planted probably most of it after Pesach, a little before Pesach, at least have it for people in Makbid on Yashan. And that grain reaches the market around Rosh Hashanah time. But we have really two wheat crops, two completely different seasonal crops in this country. I don't know where else such a thing exists. Might very well, but I don't know enough about that. But bottom line is, I'm not sure when the rainy season is here. But in theory, if you lived in a place where really it was clear when you needed rain, let's say the southern hemisphere, I'm sure you can find places there where it's clear where the rainy season is reversed. So if you send the same Talamat al-Bracha at the right time, at the wrong time, according to Pesach Shachar, you don't have to go back and repeat Shemoneh Esrei. Question? Yeah.
Just going back to the Gemara, like, what's the Hava mean? The only places that are mentioned are Eretz Yisrael and Babel, that we should apply Babel to everywhere.
Well, the Gola might be taken as Chutz La'aretz. And look, the reason why the Gemara only talks about Babel and Eretz Yisrael is because that's essentially where all Jews lived at that time. I mean, there was a diaspora, there's Alexandria, but I suspect Alexandrian Jewry, I suspect that there were Jews in Rome also, but probably the climate was basically the same as Eretz Yisrael. So, you know, if you believe if the Rush is correct, you would say that it was understood that basically all Jews lived in an Eretz Yisrael or a Babel climate, but apparently Spain was not, and it was neither of those. There's a very, I didn't cite the truth of the Rush, but there's a very, apparently it caused a big stir and a controversy because it was a really bad time for rain at a certain point, and the Rush told them, go be Shoel, and then they did it, and then people heard about it, and some Rabbanim who hadn't been consulted got very upset. But probably all the places that the Jews lived at that time were either Eretz Yisrael or Gola.
I mean, is it not just as obvious a conclusion to say we have one day for Eretz Yisrael, and we're not there, so let's change it based on where we are?
I'm sorry, is that, I didn't think
it was. Is that not just as clear of a conclusion to draw?
I think the Rush's position is very obvious, right? In other words, it's a compelling position.
But he's fighting against a seemingly more obvious position, which is that Babel represents all the Sarets. So why is that more apparent in the Gemara than...
It's not. I don't think it's more apparent in the Gemara. If you ask me, I think... I don't think the Gemara gives any message per se. You can't tell from the Gemara anything. What the Rush says is just compelling based upon Svar. But that's, in other words, it should be based upon, in other words, the Gemara just says Eretz Yisrael and Gola. You can't tell from that, you know, is this meant to be Eretz Yisrael and everything else is Gola? Or this is just telling you two places and every other place should follow whatever makes sense in that place. There's nothing in the Gemara that gives an indication, I think, clearly one way or the other. What makes the difference is sort of a Svar. Right? One sheet that says that we read Gola as everything, we read the text that way, and therefore it's just a Xeris Hachamim 60 days, and the other sheet that says, no, there was no Xeris there. That's what the Rush is fighting against when he talks about that we don't follow the Bavli here by saying this is not a Psak of the Bavli, a Svar of the Bavli, it's just a geographical reality of the Bavli. Okay, so the practice is, even if the grain grows mainly from the rain in Spain, we do not recite the same Talamot HaLebracha. Based upon our rainy season, we follow, outside of Eretz Yisrael, we follow 60 days after the autumnal equinox. Now I'd like to spend just a few minutes, talking about the autumnal equinox. For those of you who are not, for those of you who are arithmetically astute, you might have been doing the math in your heads that 60 days after the autumnal equinox this year comes out to be November 21st. Five days ago. Something's rotten in Denmark here. What's going on? What's going on? So the problem that we encounter here is that the calculation is based upon a calendar that we don't use anymore. For a very long time, including the time in which the laws of Kiddush HaChodesh were kind of laid down and the calendar rules were set in almost stone, the calendar that much of the entire Western world followed, and probably Eastern, not Eastern as in China, not the Far East, but the Near East, I mean, even the Greek Orthodox churches, was the Julian calendar. In the Julian calendar, which is reflected in Shmuel's statement, I'm not going to read it, but it's source 7, in Igmar Erevin, the solar year is exactly 365 and a quarter days. Now, that presents its own problems. It's factually not perfectly accurate. It's not that far off. But the Julian calendar means that the solar year is actually about 12, 11 and a quarter minutes longer than the actual solar year. Now, if the world had stayed on a Julian calendar, we wouldn't be asking this question. We'd be saying 60 days after the autumnal equinox. So remember, the autumnal equinox is a fact. You don't need a calendar for the autumnal equinox, you just need astronomical observation. There are Rishonim who are aware of this problem. Now is not the time for sharing Kiddush HaChodesh, but suffice it to say that in the late 16th century, Pope Gregory convened a whole council and he decided to fix the problem. Fixing the problem entailed two things. Number one, lopping 11 days off. There's a reason why they did that, not for now. There are legends, which are probably not true, about riots in England. People were upset they wanted the 11 days back. But that may have been just an incorrect inference from whatever sources. But he also changed the calendar so that to adjust for the error. And therefore, every century, we drop, every fourth year is a leap year, but every century we drop the leap year except for the millennium. In which we keep that leap year. And that brings it much closer to the actual number. The problem, of course, is that whoever decided to do that didn't tell the people calculating 60 days after the autumnal equinox that we need to fix that. So we keep going on the Julian calendar, and about every 120 years, it will get a day later. I believe if you go back and look at Siddurim that were printed at the beginning of the 20th century, you will see that the date for reciting the Saint Talmud of Racha is either December 3rd or 4th. Our Siddurim now say December 4th or 5th. Again, what happens is when the extra time accumulates before we get a leap year, it gets pushed a little bit later. But what's really happening is we are now 13 days. You know, we haven't changed just since the time they fixed things in the time Pope Gregory. So we are now about 13 days off when we calculate for the purposes of the Saint Talmud of Racha, when we calculate the autumnal equinox. And that's why we are saying the Saint Talmud of Racha on December 4th. We start saying on December 4th, not on November 21st, which would be the correct day. I should note as an aside that if we actually believed that this were the autumnal equinox, that we're actually on October 5th or something like that, it would turn out in any number of years, like this year I think even, we would have celebrated Pesach in the winter. If you calculate backwards, you will see that that happens. It happens to be there's a different system of calculating the Tkufa Sachama, the solar year. It's a little bit complicated. It's about 5 or 6 minutes shorter than the Julian calendar. It solves certain problems by having Pesach always be in the spring. It happens to also be about 7 minutes too long, and what's actually happening in the calendar as the centuries go by is that the earliest date of Pesach is slowly getting later. But that's not a halachic problem because it's getting later than the vernal equinox, and that's okay. It's okay if Pesach comes out a little closer to the summer. So eventually it might become a problem if Pesach comes out during the summer, but we will all be long dead and buried by then. So that will be somebody else's problem. It's a long way away. I suspect that global warming may make us disappear before then. Anyway, so it may be irrelevant. But that said, the reason why we say the Saint Talmud of Racha on December 4th is because we are working with the errant Julian calendar. Interestingly enough, I once asked Rav Schechter this question, what should we do? I know that it's wrong. Should I start earlier? So Kedarka Bakodesh, not wanting to answer the question, he smiled at me and said, Rav Chaim, I think because of the rush maybe, used to say the same Talmud of Rach and Shomayat Fela all year round. Okay, so that's not answering the question, but that's Kedarka Bakodesh. He also pointed out to me there's a tshuva there, which is very interesting, a tshuva of Moshe Feinstein. He said that there was somebody, he told me, who asked the Shiloh, somebody who lived at the least at the time in Washington Heights, asked Ramoshi, said, what's going on? He asked him this question. And Ramoshi got very upset because the person said that the astronomy was wrong that we're using. And he points out that the Rambam uses two systems. The Rambam goes through the calculations of the Molad and how the solar and lunar calendars of the Metonic cycle comes together. He does two sets of calculations, one using Tkufa Shmuel, which is the Julian calendar, and the other using what's called Tkufa Rav Ada, which is it's the jerry-rigged calendar. It's the one that's made so that 19 solar years and 19 lunar years are actually exactly the same. There, as I said, it's about 5 minutes apart for the length of the solar year. And when the Rambam talks about that rigged number, he says, it's Karov El Ha'emes. So Rav Moshe didn't understand what the Rambam meant. Rav Moshe thought the Rambam wasn't sure. So he thought that was probably better, but even the Rambam wasn't sure, so how can we be so sure about the astronomy? What the Rambam, I believe, actually meant when he said that was the Rambam knew that both Tkufa Shmuel and Tkufa Sur Ada were both too long. A solar year was too long. It happens to be that Tkufa Sur Ada was not as long as a solar year as Tkufa Shmuel. So the Rambam realized he knew when the vernal equinox, the vernal autumnal equinox was supposed to be, because he knew astronomy. He knew how you observe this. But most people didn't until the day of clocks and light pollution. People knew exactly when it was. So the Rambam is saying that Tkufa Sur Ada is closer to the true number than Shmuel's, but neither is actually accurate, because even Tkufa Sur Ada is actually too long. But anyway, so Ramosha Gepper says that, of course, we don't listen to it. But as I said, when I asked Rashi the question, he said that, Chaim smiled at me, Sir Chaim said, and surely I had to be a lawyer. So the bottom line is we don't say the same Talamat al Bracha until December 4th or 5th, depending on the year. We continue to follow Tkufa Shmuel in that regard. Even though from an astronomical perspective, it's obviously an error. That is the Minhag Yisrael. So very, very briefly, just to review, the Mishnah in Tainis tells us that the Machlokas about when you start being asking for Geshamim, that we paskin like Rabbi Gamliel, that you start at the 7th of Mar Cheshvan, but that's in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says that Bagola, which really means Babel, 60 days after the autumnal equinox, Kufas Tishrei. But the question is, how does that apply to lands outside of Babel that have different requirements? So the position of the Rosh and many Rishonim in the Rambam and Perish HaMishnayis is that you follow your own country's rain needs. The Rambam in the Mishnah Torah seems to maybe have backed out of that position that he articulated in the Perish HaMishnayis, and other Rishonim disagree. And the Pesach of the Shulchan Aruch is that you follow Bavel every place outside of Eretz Yisrael. And the only acknowledgement of the sheet of the Rosh is that if you're in a place that really has genuinely a different rainy season, and you made an error and you were shoel the Birkas Hashanim, so you don't have to, al pidin, you don't have to repeat, you can rely upon the sheet of the Rosh. And we will, despite the astronomical error, continue to start Sein Talamat al Racha for the foreseeable future on December 4th or 5th. In the very long foreseeable future, which I'm sure I'm not going to be alive to see, I think. I'm not actually sure how many years it is. It will soon, the Siddurim, it's a reference I don't think you would get. If you see Superman 2, you remember it? They're fixing the Leaning Tower of Pisa, do you know that? They're slowly starting to crank it up. So in Superman 2, when he gets damaged, so he goes in his spate of evil, and he straightens the Leaning Tower of Pisa, and there's this guy, this little guy who sells tchotchkes, you know, for the souvenirs, for the tourists, who sees it, and he has to break them all because it's no longer leaning. And of course, at the end of the movie, when Superman gets better, he goes and fixes and makes it re-lean again. And you see the guy screaming at him like he's got to break them again. So at some point, somebody's going to have to reprint the Siddurim to say December 5th and December 6th, but that's not my problem. Any questions? Yes?
So just how do they say that we should go based on where we are, but
then Shulchan Aruch says it's not. No, this is not the Beis Yosef position. I didn't read all the way through. I don't prevent all the end. You'll notice at the end of the Beis Yosef it says Ad Kan. It's all a quotation of the Tshuva of the Rosh. This is just a citation. The Beis Yosef cites and cites and cites, and then at the end he'll tell you what the halacha is. I didn't provide that part for him. So no, it's not. There are very, very rare cases. I can count it maybe once where Pesach in the Shulchan Aruch is different than what he wrote in the Beis Yosef, but almost never. Usually at the end of a passage, the Beis Yosef, if the quote of the sheet is to say, B'hachi naktinam, that's his psak. And that's usually what appears in the Shofar. Any other questions?
Thank you so much.